Dear friends, please turn with me in your Bibles to Acts chapter 27. Acts chapter 27, verses 21 and 22. Acts 27, verses 21 and 22. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, Sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. And our subject this morning is hope in the midst of the storm. Well, dear friends, we come to this tremendous account in the book of Acts, chapter 27, which is, as we read earlier, a dramatic account of a ship caught in the grip of a great storm at sea. And one of the passengers on this ship, on this boat, is the Apostle Paul, one of Christ's apostles. And he has been taken prisoner. He is a prisoner on board this ship. He has gotten into trouble with the authorities, not because of any evil that he has committed, not because of any crime, but because he has been preaching the gospel. That was his only crime. And people had responded to this gospel, some in a good way, believing in it, some in a bad way, rejecting it, and urging the authorities to arrest Paul for disturbing the peace and all sorts of things. And sadly, that's what's happened to the Apostle Paul. He's been arrested and he is being taken to Rome to face trial before Caesar, the Roman emperor. And so he is on this ship. And with him, by the way, accompanying him is another believer in Christ who we know very well. And that's Luke. Luke, who is the writer of the Gospel according to Luke. He's also the writer of the book of Acts, under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, of course. And Luke is with him, and he's writing these things, and that's why it's written in the first person plural. When you look at verse 1, for example, and when it was determined that we should sail into Italy, they delivered Paul and certain other prisoners unto one named Julius. And verse 2, and entering into a ship of Adramyttium, we launched, meaning to sail by the coasts of Asia, one Aristarchus, a Macedonian of Thessalonica, being with us. So it's the first person plural, we, us, because the writer, he's there. He experienced all of these things, this great sea journey, and ultimately the shipwreck at the very end. And just to remind you, of course, that these accounts, these events are all true. They are real history. It's a real place. This takes place in the Mediterranean Sea. We all know about the Mediterranean. The place names are very familiar to us. Cyprus is mentioned, Crete is mentioned, the island of the shipwreck is Malta. So we know all of these places. And indeed, there has been some evidence, or people believe that evidence of Paul's shipwreck has been found off the coast of Malta very recently. So these are real historical events, just like everything in the Bible. I always stress this. These are not fairy tales. This is not fiction. Real events in real places, in a real time in history. This is about AD 60. So roughly speaking, around 30 years after the death and resurrection of Christ. So this is the word of truth to us. Well, now this may all be very interesting, you say, but why are we looking at this in a gospel message? Well, it's because a few years ago now, I spoke to a Christian man and I asked him, how were you saved? How did you come to the Lord Jesus Christ? And he told me that he attended a service much like this one, a gospel service, And the preacher preached from this passage. This passage, Acts chapter 27, the storm at sea, the ship in peril. And when he heard the message, it was as though the preacher was preaching about him, about his life and what had happened to him and to his life. And it caused him to realize his great need of God. And from that moment, after he heard that message, he sought the Lord and he found the Lord. And so my prayer is that that will have the same effect upon some of you, that when you hear this message and when you see all the applications, well, it will make you stop and think and consider the Lord and seek him. So that's my prayer. And we're going to look at this account together. We're not going to go through the whole of the chapter. We're not going to get right down to the shipwreck. But we're going to use the first half of this account as an illustration, because what we have here is an illustration of a life without God. That's what we see here. And we will draw out the gospel applications as we go through. So the first thing that we must focus upon is how the warnings of the Apostle Paul concerning the journey were ignored. The ship began its journey from a place called Adramyttium. We read that. It sailed under Cyprus. And then it comes to Crete, to a place called Fair Havens. And well, it is at this place that the Apostle Paul issues a warning in verse 10. He says to them, "Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading and ship, but also of our lives." The Apostle Paul basically is warning, if you go on this trip, well, there will be great danger. You mustn't go. The time of the year was wrong. To sail now would be very dangerous. The ship would be at peril, and everybody in the ship would be in great danger. But look what happens in verse 11. "Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul." So the centurion, who was in charge of Paul and the other prisoners, he believed the master and the owner of the ship, the captain of the ship. He dismissed the Apostle Paul. What would this Paul know? What would this Christian know about anything? I'm going to listen to the captain. He ought to know. He's the captain. He's the one who would know whether it's safe or not to go out onto the sea. So I'm going to dismiss the words of the apostle and I'm going to believe the captain. And that was very foolish. Of course it was. The warning of the Apostle Paul was dismissed. And well, he listened to somebody else, somebody who he thought was much more worthy to listen to. And this, well, this is the first gospel application. This is how people respond to the gospel. The gospel is in many ways a warning. What is the warning? Don't embark upon life's journey without God. That's the warning. That's what we say to people. Don't embark upon life without God. It's so dangerous. It's so foolish to live without God's help, without his protection, without his guidance, without his strength in this world. This world is such a sinful place. Sin will attack you. Sin will overcome you, will make a fool out of you. Are you going to live in this world without God? That's so dangerous. That's so foolish. And by the way, that is what sin is, to live without God. Many people, they will say to you, "You know, I've never done anything wrong. I've never stolen anything. I've never really lied. I haven't killed anybody. I've never committed adultery." But something else that they haven't done, they've never sought God. That's a great sin in itself. You've never sought God. You've never worshipped God. You've never acknowledged God. You refuse to believe in God. That's something else you've never done. And that's a great sin. To live without God is a great sin in itself. Doesn't matter if you've never committed adultery or never lied. Have you worshipped God? Have you sought him? Because if you haven't, it's a great sin and it's so dangerous. By the way, it's dangerous not just for you, but for others. You know, many people were affected by this foolish decision. There were 276 passengers on this ship, we read later on in the chapter, and all of them would be affected by this decision. And well, we make the gospel application. You know, when you decide, if you decide to live your life without God, to live a life of sin, you won't be the only one affected. Sin affects other people around you. Sin doesn't just affect you. Sin harms others. And normally it's the people who are closest to you. If you are a sinner, if you live a life of ungodliness, do you think it's just you will be hurt? No, your parents will be hurt. Your wives will be hurt. Your husbands, your children. If you live in sin, it's other people who will be affected. It's dangerous for them, not just for you. This is what the devil says. Oh, if you're a sinner, it's just you who'll be affected. You won't be hurting anybody else. That's a great lie. The decision to live without God, it affects so many people. And this is what so many people don't understand. It's dangerous to you and for others. And of course, we speak of the danger that is eternal. The gospel speaks of danger for your soul. Your soul is in danger. When you reject God, when you turn away from him, you're in danger of being eternally lost. So the gospel is a warning. But how do people respond to it? Oh, they just dismiss it. They're not going to listen. What do these Christians know about anything, about life? I'm just going to dismiss what this preacher says, what the word of God says. I'm going to listen to other people. I'm going to listen to people on the TV. All the celebrities, all the film stars, all the intellectuals, they tell me I can live without God. They tell me I can be happy without God. Well, they ought to know better. And so we just follow their advice. We reject the word of God and the people of God and all their pleadings with us, and we go our own way. And that is so very foolish. It was foolish here. It's foolish for us. Now, for the first few days of this journey, the ship actually did well. They left their port, and in verse 13, well, we read that it was fair weather. The south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose. So they set off, and it was fair weather, and they must have thought that they were justified. The weather was good. There's nothing to worry about. We're doing quite well. But then verse 14, but not long after, there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon, a typhoon, a great storm, a northeast wind. That's what that word Euroclydon means, a northeaster, literally. And this was a great storm. And verse 15, and when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. In other words, the seamen, the sailors, they couldn't keep the ship under control. They just let her drive. It was blown off course. And well, these events most certainly provide rich illustration of a life without God. You know, when you set off on a life without God, at first it seems wonderful. At first you think it's all right. I've set off without God. I live without God. I can do what I want. I've got all the freedom I want, all the pleasure, worldly success, perhaps. You're good at school. You're good at work. Everything is going my way. But not long after, then the storms of life will come. The storms of life. You will run into trouble, dear friends. Crises, loss, financial crash, for example, sickness, bereavement, broken relationships, disappointments in your life. All these things will come. They will blow your life off course. Blow your life entirely the wrong way. You thought you had it all mapped out. You thought you were going to end up in one place. I'm going to do this, this, and this, and then I'll be wonderfully happy. But dear friend, the storms of life, they blow you off course, and your life ends up being entirely different to what you thought it would be. That's what happens. The storms of life blow you off course because you are not in charge of your life. You are not the captain of your ship. You are not in charge. There are things in this life, in this world, that you have no say over, that you have no control over. And so it's so foolish. Do we see the foolishness of living your life without God? You are not in charge of your life. Yes, it may start well, but ultimately the world will catch up with you and you will be blown off course and your life will be a great disappointment. And look what happens. I must rush through, but there's so many things we could touch on. Look at what happens next. It gets worse. Verse 18, for example. And we being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, they're being blown about by the storm. The next day they lightened the ship. They had to lighten the ship. They had to dump the cargo overboard. They had to throw all the precious things that were on the ship. They had to just throw them over the side to try and save the ship. What a waste, you think to yourself. What a waste of all this precious material and valuable things. Dear friends, that's your life without God. Your life without God is a complete waste. A complete waste of your time, a waste of your energy, a waste of your talents, all of your talents. Your talents have been given to you by God. God gave you your talents. And they're supposed to be used for his service. That's how you're supposed to use everything that God has given to you. You're supposed to return it to him. If you do it for this world, if you use them for this world, that's a complete waste. You're wasting all your talent on the empty things of this world, the fleeting pleasures that don't fill you at all and that leave you empty inside. That's what life in this world is like. You've got so many talents, so much ability, but it's like you're just throwing it overboard. A complete waste. And well, it gets even worse. Verse 20, and when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. They were in darkness, neither sun nor stars in many days appeared. The storm was so great, you see, it blocked out the light of the sun by day and the stars by night. And well, when you live without God, you are in darkness. In darkness, the longer you travel in this world without God, the darker it gets. The more you see the sin of this world, the sins of those around you, you'll see it more clearly and you'll see the sin in you. Sin will have a greater hold upon you. There's no light in your life. God is the source of all light. How can you have light in your life without God? How can you have any meaning in your life without God? How can you have any true understanding about the world without God? So many people in this world living without God, they don't know what the meaning of their life is. They don't have any purpose. They don't understand anything that's going on in the world because they're in darkness. They don't have light. The only way you can have light in your life is by knowing God. And this is an illustration of all these things. The waste of life, the darkness that surrounds this ship. This is a life without God. But look at the words of the Apostle Paul here. I must rush to the gospel application. Verse 21, but after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, Sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete and to have gained this harm and loss. Paul says, you should have listened to me. You should have listened a lot earlier. And well, don't we say it almost every week? When is the time to come to Christ? Come to Christ now. You should come as soon as you can. You know, many of you know that I was saved when I was 30. So that's quite old, really. I was saved when I was 30. But there's not a day goes by when I wish that I would have been saved a lot earlier in my life. A lot earlier. I wish that I had been saved when I was 18 or 19, because those years of unbelief, those years that I spent without God, they caused so much harm to me, to my family, to my friends. I wish that I had been saved a lot earlier, if only I had listened. I heard the gospel and I dismissed it like everybody else. Oh, I'm not going to listen to the preacher. I'm going to listen to the world. And I went off. I sailed off. And now there's only regret. I'm ashamed of all of those years. Dear friends, is that you? Are you in that same situation? Come to the Lord early. Look what Paul says. You should have hearkened unto me, and you'll save yourself so much harm in your life. So much loss in your life. But then verse 22, and really in these following verses, the gospel applications are so very clear. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer. He's going to give them good news, the gospel. For there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. Well, this is what the gospel message is. Paul says that they will not die. Nobody on this ship will die. You will overcome death. Fear not. And that's what the gospel message is. The gospel message essentially is about overcoming death. It's about life, everlasting life. Every Christian who believes in the gospel has everlasting life. We know that when we die, we go to be with the Lord forever. Christ has made it possible to be with God forever. How has he made it possible? By taking away all our sin. We cannot be with God forever with sin in our lives, with sin in our hearts. Our sins must be removed. If we're to be with God, God is holy. We can only go to be with God without any sin. And Christ has removed that sin. Christ came, he suffered and died on the cross. On the cross, all our sins were placed upon him. And he suffered and died. He took the punishment for our sin. So our sin is dealt with. Our sin has been removed from us. Christ took the punishment. He's borne all our sins away. So now we can go. We can go to be with God forever in heaven. That's the gospel. Nobody needs to die. Nobody needs to live just 70 years on this life and then be dead. We can all go to be with the Lord. We can all trust in him. If we put our faith in Christ, if we believe personally, personal belief is mentioned here. Verse 23 to 25, for there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. An angel brought a message to the apostle Paul, saying that the whole ship would be saved. But look at verse 25, wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Dear friends, this is how we are saved. Personal faith. I believe God. I believe God, not just my parents believe in God, not just my brother believes in God. I believe in God. I have faith. So many times Paul says, I, whose I am, whom I serve, I believe that it shall be even as it was told me. This is personal. Do you have that personal faith? I believe in Christ, not just as a Savior, not just even as the Savior, but he's my Savior. When Christ died on the cross, it was for my sin. Sins that I have committed in this body, in this life, Christ died for me. He's my Savior. That needs to be your faith. The Christian faith, it's not simply religion, being religious. It's having a personal belief in Christ. He has died for me. That's what you need. And we pray that each and every one of us will have that glorious faith that the apostle had and that every true believer has. But I must close, but just look very quickly at those last words. Verse 26, howbeit we must be cast upon a certain island. Well, the ship, it changed its destination. The ship was heading one place, it was heading for Phoenicia, but God intervened and the ship changed its destination. Well, again, that's the gospel. Those who come to Christ, they have their destination changed. You were heading for hell. You were heading for eternal loss. That's where you were going. But God intervenes in your life and he changes your destination. Now you're going to go to heaven. Now you're going to be with God forever. That's a great and glorious thing. That is the mercy of God. And nobody can blow you off course. When you come to Christ, you submit to him. When Christ is the captain of your ship, nobody can blow you off course. Once you are saved, once you trust in Christ, you will never be lost. You are as good as in heaven already. You are saved. You have assurance of heaven. Heaven is your final destination. You can rejoice for the rest of your days on earth. Dear friends, this is the glorious gospel. We see it here, even in this ancient account of a ship at peril. What is it for you? Are you going to trust in Christ? Come to Christ, dear friends, as soon as you can. As soon as you can. Don't go on without him. If you do, well, you will only make a shipwreck of your life. You will waste your own life, waste all your talents. You will ultimately lose your own soul. It's not worth it, dear friends. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Let him be your captain, your king. Let him lead you to a greater destination. And you will rejoice. And you will know the joy of everlasting life. These are the lessons that we see from this glorious account. May the Lord bless them to each and every one of us. Let us pray together. Dear Lord, our gracious God and our loving Heavenly Father, O Lord, we thank thee for the gospel, and we thank thee that in thy word, even in ancient accounts, we can see the gospel. We can see it presented before us. And we do pray that thy Holy Spirit would now come and work in the hearts of each and every one, to turn each and every one to Christ, that our lives would not be a waste, that there would not be eternal shipwreck at the end, but Lord, that we would be used of thee and that Christ would be our captain and our king. Bless us, O Lord, this day we pray. We ask it all in our Saviour's name and for his sake. Amen.
Amen.